It is time for Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by Cargill, providing food, agriculture, financial, and industrial products and services to the world. Cargill, helping the world thrive.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn all about the Month of the Military Child, and we'll talk to the Minnesota chapter of the Vietnam Veterans of America. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Military children play an important part in the life of a military family. They give our service members encouragement, love, and hope for the future. They're a special group of kids, and in times of separation from their military parent, they have a unique set of challenges. We've learned over the years that one of the best ways to nurture and empower military kids is by connecting them with other military children. They might be the only one in their school with a parent in the military, but there are others going through the same things across our state. This summer, I encourage all military families to get their children connected through camps. There are a handful of camp opportunities available this summer, and I'm proud of the Minnesota National Guard Youth and Teen Camp that will be held at Camp Ripley for 2 separate weeks in late July and August. The camp allows Guard kids ages 10 to 15 to experience things like canoeing, archery, hiking, and a competence course with their peers from across our state. There are also camps for military kids of all branches of service available in July and August. Even a family camp is available. Our team at Beyond the Yellow Ribbon keeps a watchful eye out for camps offered specifically for military children and posts that information on their website. I encourage you to visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org, pick out a camp that will work for your family, and get your children registered.
Thank you. Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. So I said at the opening, we're going to learn all about the Month of the Military Child, and joining me now to talk about that is Laura Grenewig. Laura, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Can you share with our listeners what is your position and how are you involved in Month of the Military Child?
So I am the lead Child and Youth Program Coordinator for the Minnesota National Guard, and I have programs, and we provide programs for kids throughout the state who have a parent in the military. And one of the opportunities to raise awareness for and support military-connected kids is through April, Month of the Military Child.
And as we just heard from General Nash, one of his topic today was the youth camps, and their summer will be here before we know it, won't it?
Yes, it will. So you have to get your kids signed up today. Sign them up for the National Guard Youth and Teen Program.
And where's the best place to go find some information about that?
You can go to the MinnesotaNationalGuard.org website, or you can go to our Facebook page, which is MN National Guard Youth Programs Facebook page for updates.
Very good. So all of those youth camps will be up there already, and they come up, I think, sometime, is it late July?
Yep, they are. The last weekend in July and the first week in August at Camp Ripley.
For our military children, those are free, aren't they?
No, they're not free for military. They're you'll have to go to their website, the Minnesota National Guard Youth and Teen website, for their prices.
So they'll have all the details, but you better go there soon and get registered because
yep.
They probably fill up pretty quick.
It does. It is a great opportunity for kids to have a week of camp and meet other kids who have a parent in the military or a family member.
So the month of April...
Yes.
Is the month of the military child.
Yes.
There are a lot of activities this year?
We do. We actually have a lot of activities going on for month of the military child. And we have several events happening. One is at the Mall of America, and it's called Purple Up Day, and it's going to be April 21st. And what we have going on there, there's going to be a Build-A-Bear. So USAA has donated 300 Build-A-Bear slots. So kids can come and make their own bear. And Nickelodeon Universe passes are going to be available as well for 750 people. So we'll have a sign up. We need to look at our website for updates as well at the MinnesotaNationalGuard.org.
So April 21st is the day to purple up in support of April, the month of the military child. And did I see, I think I saw something come through on the emails this week about buying purple shirts.
Yes. So another way to... show support and raise awareness for military kids is to wear purple, buy a purple shirt, and you can purchase a shirt on our website through MN National Guard Youth Programs through our Facebook page. You can get the link to make to purchase one of those.
Now, are there deadlines on ordering those shirts to get them on time?
Yes. If you want your shirt by April 1st, you have to order it by March 7th.
So they better get to it this week then.
Get to it this week.
But they can still order them after that.
And they can still order it, but then you won't get your shirt until after April 30th.
Okay. Now, Lori, you brought someone with you today that's new to your organization.
I did. I brought my new child and youth program coordinator, Melissa Johnson.
Mel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
So what do you do with that title over there?
Well, I kind of am Laura's right-hand man for all this Purple Up going on in April, and I will be working with the Military Kids Club as well as tween overnights as those events arise.
We're speaking with Laura Grenewig and Mel Johnson about April, which is Month of the Military Child on Minnesota Military Radio. And Mel, I understand you're involved in some events too. One of them is an art contest?
That's right. We're having an art contest, and we have four different age categories with three winners in each category. And you can find information and the entry form on the MN National Guard Youth Program's Facebook page. And Ars Bellum was nice enough to donate some really great art supplies as prizes for the children in each category. We're hoping that we will be able to use the artwork entered to use in future publications, maybe a calendar that will be going out. So we're highly encouraging everyone to get involved and enter the art contest.
Now, is there a theme to the art contest this year?
Military pride is the theme this year.
So are you gonna enter the contest too, Mel?
I don't know that my art will be up to par with the kindergartners. So
you'll have to team up with Laura then.
I might have to, definitely. We also have a photo contest going on called Being Part of the Military Family. And again, more information on our Facebook page. And with that contest, we have some really great prizes donated by the Mall of America, such as a staycation and passes for Nickelodeon Universe and the other attractions they have out at the park. So we're encouraging everyone to get involved and show their military pride.
Sounds good. Now, Laura, is the governor involved with you this year?
Yes, the governor is involved. This is an opportunity for Governor Dayton to recognize military-connected youth, and parents can go to the mdva.org website to request a letter from the governor directly thanking their kids for their support and sacrifice as well, being part of a military family.
I remember that one from last year and the year before. Did we wear out the governor's hand signing those letters?
I believe we did, yes. I think that he really enjoys signing those letters, though, for families.
Well, he's going to be convalescing for a few days, so let's get a lot of requests in there so he can sign those letters.
That's right.
Now, do you have any other politicians involved this year?
Yes, we do. So Senator Franken has a poetry contest that it's for youth to write about the veteran in their family, the veteran in their life. And so they can enter their poetry into his contest as well.
And how about sports teams? Anything going on with the, maybe like the Timberwolves?
Yes, we have Timberwolves tickets for military-connected kids to go to be part of the High Five Tunnel as well as the Anthem Buddies during one of the Timberwolves games. More information to come on that.
Okay, so once again, if our listeners want to learn more about April, the month of the military child, where's the quickest, easiest place to go?
The listeners can go to our Facebook page, the MN National Guard Youth Programs page.
MN National Guard Youth Programs.
Correct.
All right, let's go back one more time. April 21st?
Yep.
Is your Purple Up Day?
Yes, there's lots of activities happening there. Fox Sports North is also going to be at the Mall of America providing different activities as well as some talent. We don't know who is going to be there yet, but there could be a player from the Wild, the Timberwolves, or the Vikings. And so we'll find out soon about that. And then, I said, Nickelodeon Universe Pass rides, Build-A-Bear, and lots of other activities.
And Mall of America is a good yellow ribbon company, so they're a great partner, aren't they?
They have been a great partner and a great supporter of military families and youth.
So once again, that's April 21st at the Mall of America. And you can go to that website and order up some purple shirts. And let's all purple up in honor of April, the month of the military child. Laura and Mel, we have to take a short break. When we come back, you've got a guest, I think, that we're going to talk to about the teen panel.
Yes.
And we'll see what this young teen can do on the radio. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking about the April, which is the month of the military child, with Laura Grenewig and Mel Johnson. And Laura, I just want to run through some of those activities again. Purple Up Day is April 21st at Mall of America, and there's going to be a lot to do out there.
Yeah, we actually have a lot of activities that military-connected families and youth can get involved in during the month of April. Kids can participate in an art contest, and the theme is military pride. Get a letter of recognition from Governor Mark Dayton. Enter Senator Franken's poetry contest. Register for a free Timberwolves game. And then also there's a photo contest that we have. So enter a family photo with your service member in there and enter that in our photo contest. And then, as Tom just mentioned, April 21st is Purple Up Day at the Mall of America. You can come participate in a scavenger hunt, get your face painted, have snacks, go to Nickelodeon Universe, and also Build-A-Bear.
And there's a place to order some purple shirts if you need them.
Oh, yes, that's right. You can get your Purple Up shirt and support military-connected kids through wearing your shirt through our Facebook page, MN National Guard Youth Programs. And then you can find more information about all the events as well.
Okay, so order up your purple shirts and get ready for April 21st with a good yellow ribbon partner, Mall of America, and get out there in support of April, the month of the military child. Now, Laura, we got to move on here. We've got a special guest in the studio along with you and Mel.
You
want to introduce him?
Yes, I would love to. We do have a very special guest. We have AJ Steinmetz. He is on the Minnesota Military Teen Panel, and so we're excited to have him here today. So,
AJ, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Now, I understand you're on an accepted absence from school today to join us.
Yes, I am, and I'm all right with that. I'm happy to be here.
So you're not going to have to go back and report to the principal's office in the morning?
Hopefully not. We'll see. Hopefully not.
All right. Well, we'll see how you do.
Sounds good.
Now, you've been on what's called the teen panel for how long?
3 years.
Can you explain to the listeners what is that?
Yes, so the Minnesota Military Teen Panel is a group of about 14 kids, and we get together 4 times a year at a hotel or just somewhere that it's easy for everyone to get to. And we just hang out and have a good time, and we plan for the Teen Summit, which is where 40 teens from Minnesota get together. And this group is really a support group, but it's also just making those lifelong friends that also have a parent in the military, and they know the quote-unquote struggle, but it's really just getting together and knowing what each other go through and helping each other through those times, but also just interacting in each other's lives and being there for each other.
So this whole group is made up of military teens from all over Minnesota?
Yep, so everyone has at least one parent in the military.
And so you've gotten to meet a lot of military kids from all over the state?
Yeah, all over the state. And then when I go to youth camp in the summer, all over the country they come from.
So
yeah.
Some lifelong friends maybe?
Yeah, oh, definitely, yes.
So you're smiling. This must be a pretty good group.
Yes, it is. They always know how to make me happy, and we're always trying new things, and everyone loves everything we do, so it's a really good opportunity.
Now, how often does the teen panel meet again?
We meet at least 4 times a year.
And where do you meet?
We meet at hotels, normally towards the cities, the Twin Cities, and we just get together and meet at a hotel, and we do some outings. We go bowling sometimes, or we'll go to Feed My Starving Children, and we always try to do a service project just to help out as much as we can.
Now, Laura, how involved are you with the teen panel and all these activities?
Oh, I would say I'm very involved with the teen panel. So I work with the teens to figure out what kinds of interests they have as far as career opportunities, exploration, volunteer, community service. So we always try to work hard, play hard, and do some fun activities when we meet.
No, AJ sounds like this is all fun and games. Is there a little work involved?
Yeah, actually, there is a lot of work. I'm glad to hear him say that it is fun. But I also make them work very hard when we get together those 4 times a year. So not only are they having fun, but they're working hard to plan and collaborate, plan activities for the Teen Summit, which happens in the summer. So we spend the year planning the Teen Summit and the different activities, workshops, service project, and the energizer and icebreaker activities.
Now, AJ, your father's in the military?
Yes, my dad's in the Air National Guard.
And he's a major?
Yes.
And how often has he been deployed?
He's been deployed 3 times.
Is that difficult when he's away?
Yeah, it is very difficult just not having him there for if I have a concert or if I just need to get somewhere and he's not there. I'm really reliant on my mom, and she's been very supportive of him being deployed and us still living our lives to the fullest when he's not there.
Now, where do you go to school?
I go to school at Park High School in Cottage Grove.
So at Park High School, there's probably just a few military kids, but most of them, their parents are civilians and they work.
Yep.
And those kids probably don't understand what it's like to have one parent deployed, do they?
Yeah, it's very hard in my civilian life for other people to understand having a parent gone or having a parent deployed. So that's why I love the teen panel, because even though we might not see face-to-face every day, we still have the connection through Instagram or texting each other and just saying, like, hey, how's life? How's your dad while he's deployed? Stuff like that, just kind of checking up on each other, because we do know what it's like and what that experience is like when they're gone.
So because of the teen panel, you have other military kids that you can talk about deployments with and try to figure out how do we get through this one.
Yep, definitely.
And I think that that's really great about AJ and his family, that they do get involved in all the different activities that are available to military families, because it does really help through that transition of the separations for trainings or deployments or extended leave.
We're speaking with Laura Granowig, Mel Johnson, and A.J. Steinmetz about Month of the Military Child on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, A.J., I understand that you were also involved in a teen summit?
Yeah, the teen summit is kind of our big event of the year for the teen panel, and it's what we plan for all year, and it's when we get together as the teen panel and we host the teen summit, where 40 kids from all across Minnesota come together at a location. It's usually a hotel, and we just spend the weekend together, and we also try to do our service projects and an outing, and we get together and eat meals and room together, and just you get to spend time and make those connections that you wouldn't have without the summit.
So does that summit have an organized agenda? There are a lot of things that have to be done?
Yep, everyone gets an agenda on Friday, and then we go to it and start crossing stuff off and having fun.
So, Laura, is this like a military event?
The teen summit.
Right on time and
yes.
Boom, boom, boom?
Yeah, well, you know, it is a military event, but when you're working with kids and teens, sometimes we have to adjust on the spot and roll with it, but we usually try to keep right on schedule.
AJ, you didn't stick with the agenda and stay on time?
We try to, yeah, but it's very flexible on if we see that everyone's liking to do something and everyone's really bonding over something or connecting with something, we can make it flexible.
So are you making some decisions that might affect what's going to happen next year at that summit?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We've already come together a few times and started talking about our theme and kind of where we want to meet up and what we want to accomplish through the summit.
So we do have some workshops at the Teen Summit. We do a Military 101, so where the participants can learn about the military branches, the ranks, learn about uniform, MREs, maybe even get to try an MRE. We also have done mindfulness training, yoga training. What are some other
things? We've done Zumba. We've done so much stuff. And it's stuff that I would have never done without the summit. So having that summit and having the panel has given me so many opportunities to try everything.
Mel, have you been able to see one of these summits yet?
Well, this is actually only my 4th day on the job, so I haven't had a chance to experience them yet, but I am really impressed in the way that Minnesota supports their military kids, that they have all these connections for them to make. As a civilian, I wasn't aware of these programs, so it's really encouraging to see the support that these military children and youth receive.
Now, AJ, have you got 1 year left on the teen panel, or are you done this year?
I do have 1 year left, so I'm going to finish out this year and do next year. So, yeah, and I'm excited.
Now, did I understand that you also act as a junior advisor? Where's that?
I'm a junior advisor on the panel. So I applied for it, and my peers voted, and I got voted to be the junior advisor. So with that, I have the responsibility of kind of connecting the teens of Minnesota to the adults and seeing what each party likes and kind of being the middleman.
So you're getting to be one of the senior of the teen panel.
Definitely.
And have to help some of the younger ones figure out what to do.
Yeah.
Now, I understand you also were a finalist for Military Child of the Year.
I was, yeah. I got nominated by my dad, and he just saw through my community service and through my experiences, he nominated me for it. And I got down to semi-finalist, and I did an over-the-phone interview and did a couple applications for that. So, yeah, that was a great experience, kind of getting me ready with those applications and stuff.
Now, AJ, we're just about out of time. If there's other military children in the state that are listening to this, would you advise them to get involved?
Yes, 100%. I was nervous at first, but then I did it, and I've stuck with it for 4 years now, and it's been one of the best experiences I've had.
So for all our listeners out there, if they haven't experienced this, you'd say, let's do it. Let's go.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Thanks for joining us, AJ.
Thank you for having us.
Laura, we just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts?
We're just looking for a great turnout at the Mall of America on April 21st with all of our military-connected families and youth throughout the state.
So, purple up,
Minnesota.
Purple, Minnesota.
And order up those purple shirts soon. Ladies, AJ, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
This is Laura Grenewig, Mel Johnson, and AJ Steinmetz for April, Month of the Military Child on Minnesota Military Radio. Coming up, we're going to meet with the Minnesota chapter of the Vietnam Veterans of America, so please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to visit with the Minnesota chapter of the Vietnam Veterans of America. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
This month, we reflect on the significant historical contributions of American women and honor their accomplishments both past and present. In doing so, we also recognize the importance of our women's veterans and the sacrifices they have made throughout history. For years, women have been serving in the military alongside their male comrades. However, their service often goes unrecognized. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is honored to serve those women who have contributed so much to our nation. Join me in honoring and thanking our servicewomen, past and present.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Terry Palmer, who is the president of the Minnesota chapter of the Vietnam Veterans of America. Terry, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, sir.
We introduced you this year at a little event we had up at Federal Premium Ammunition, where we had all of the heads of the veteran service organizations that belong to the Commander's Task Force. And it was kind of a quick show because there were a lot of you to get on the air, but that was kind of a fun event, wasn't it?
Yes, sir, it was. It was very interesting.
Tour of the plant?
Tour of the plant and understand what they're doing, and just terribly interesting.
Great Minnesota employer. They've been up there for about 100 years, and got a chance to maybe shoot a weapon or two down.
Yeah, we did. I shot a 50 caliber pistol with a heck of a kick, and
that was a big one.
A big one, yeah. And then I shot an automatic AR-15 or this kind of a weapon. It was fun.
That was a good day.
Yes.
Now, Terry, you're president of the Minnesota chapter of Vietnam Veterans of America. I'm a member of the Vietnam Veterans of America. That means we were both in Vietnam a little while ago.
A little while ago, yes.
Decades.
Decades. Yes, pretty much so. I enlisted in 1968 in the Navy, and went to Great Lakes, went down to Memphis, Millington for a few months, and then went to the fleet, the Pacific Ocean, caught an aircraft carrier, USS Ranger, and finished out that tour, and then commenced with the rest of my Navy career on board Ranger until January 72 when I got out.
So you were Blue Water Navy, they call it, Vietnam.
Blue Water Navy. I made a total of 2.5 9-month trips over to North Vietnam, was where our operation base was.
And how was that, serving on an aircraft carrier off of Vietnam?
It was fun. I hired on as a railroad brakeman that previous year, 67, and so they put me on the flight deck and ship's company, and I got to be a plane mover arounder and a blue shirt, and worked my way up until I made third class, and then I became a catapult spotter and what they call a yellow shirt and fly three, where the catapult number 3 and 4 were.
So you enjoyed your time on the Ranger.
Yes, I did. And when I got out, I went back to the railroading, and then a few years later, I enlisted in the Navy Reserves and went to out here in 28th and across town for 20 more years. So I ended up retiring in 95 with a little over 24 and a half years government service.
So Terry, how long ago did you join the Vietnam Veterans of America, and how'd you get to be the top dog, the president?
Nobody else wanted it. No, that's not really true. But Mankato started a chapter in, I believe it was 08 or 09, and I heard about it and decided that I'd like to try this. I was been a life member of the Vietnam VFW, and not a life member, but a member of American Legion, and just seemed like something nice to get into, and I didn't know anything about it. And first thing you know, I'm president of that chapter. And when they had quarterly meetings and found out that the previous president, Jim Fisher, had some medical issues and wasn't going to run, and his vice president wasn't going to run. So I thought, well, I'll try it. And I asked my wife. She says, how come you didn't already ask? So that really surprised me that she would
Waiting for you to do this.
Oh, yeah. So I just had to eliminate some of the other events that I was involved with. I was a commander of the VFW in Mankato, one of the posts, the Morrison Area post. And I just had to give up some things just to take this one on so I wouldn't be gone all the time.
We're speaking with Terry Palmer, who is the president of the Minnesota chapter of the Vietnam Veterans of America on Minnesota Military Radio. Terry, who's eligible to belong to the VBA?
Anybody that served in the service during the parameter years ending in 1975 anywhere in the world. You didn't have to be years ago. It was within the Tonkin Gulf Yacht Club markings for the fleet or in country, but they've changed it so it's a Vietnam-era veteran, served honorably, and I got a DD-214 and can attach themselves. You can be either at large if you don't want to belong to a specific chapter or belong to a chapter somewhere in the state. There's 46 states have Vietnam Veterans of America state chapters, so there's plenty of places to get involved.
So how many members do we have here in Minnesota, and how many locations?
There's about 12 or 13 locations and about 1,300 members, if my memory serves me right. There's a little over 80,000 at the national level, and when I got involved at the national level about 5 years ago, there was a little over 70,000. So as we're getting older, we're picking up more and more veterans that are, I think it's because of the age
A lot of the guys are retiring. They got a little bit of time. They're joining them.
A little bit of time, and the other thing is some of the maladies that are showing up, the Agent Orange and all the derivatives that come from that. Not necessarily is it an in-country event. Some of us Blue Water Navy people have some of the same similar maladies, but the government isn't honoring us yet, and it's in Congress. It just about passed last session, and from what I understand, listening to Mr. Walls down in Mankato, that it looks like it's going to get through this year, so the Blue Water Navy will be able to get some of the benefits off of the listing of the disease that are part of Agent Orange.
So what's the mission of the Vietnam Veterans of Minnesota here in Minnesota, Vietnam Veterans of America?
Well, Vietnam Veterans of America is no other veteran will be abandoned such as we were. So we're working as a nation with Congress and the state legislatures to enhance the awareness and lobby for the medical help that we need.
So never again we're going to let our service members or their families be treated the way we were. And
yes,
I think we, myself being a Vietnam veteran, and you and all the rest of Vietnam veterans have done a lot to change the way our service members are thought of and reacted to today.
Yes, it's refreshing. some of the stuff of that you hear, the horror stories of some of these guys getting spit on and stuff thrown at them and stuff, that, I got to say, that never happened to me, but I know some classmates of mine who were beaten up pretty bad walking around town with their uniforms on. So it was real.
We lived through it, but there's no reason for anybody else to go through that.
No, absolutely not. This is silly. And, you know, you go down to some of the cities that you visit, Branson for one, and around towns, around all the country, and it's thank you for your service, and it's unbelievable. It's so refreshing.
You know, I got to tell you a story. I've got Vietnam veteran plates on my car.
Yeah.
And my wife and I went out to brunch one day about a year ago, and we get in the car to go. I start up the car, and there's somebody knocking on my window, and I was shocked. I rolled down the window, and he said, thank you for your service. And I said, what?
Yeah.
We got Vietnam plates. Were you in Vietnam? I said, yes. They said, thank you for your service. I'd never heard that before.
Yeah.
That was pretty interesting.
It's really something, you know. People open a door for you sometimes and stuff like that. It's unbelievable.
It's never too late, is it?
Never too late, no. This is, we came back en masse a whole lot different than World War II and the Korean guys did. It was a different era, a different world, and different events.
I think America was suffering from a hangover from World War II and Korea, and they didn't want to hear about any more wars. And
yeah, that's it.
It was just an odd time, and we did live through it, and most of us are doing a good job of making sure that today's the 1% who serve today are treated with respect. And to me, that makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, it is. It's really refreshing.
Terry, we've got to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about a little bit about how you help some of our veterans with compensation claims and some of the other things that the Minnesota chapter of the Vietnam Veterans of America do. We're speaking with Terry Palmer, president of the VVA of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Terry Palmer, who is the president of the Minnesota chapter, the Vietnam Veterans of America. And Terry, we've been talking about your members all over the state. I know there's a lot more Vietnam veterans out there than you have members. So if they're out there, come on over and sign up and add your voice to the other voices we take up to the Capitol on Legislative Day this year. But Terry, you were telling me there's an event up at the St. Cloud Medical Center.
Yeah, it's actually in Buffalo. American Legion Post 270, March 8th. It's going to be in a veterans town hall meeting, and they're going to be discussing St. Cloud VA is going to be discussing enrollment in VA health care, provide information on a full range of veteran benefits. So it's an informational, and all you veterans out there, be it Vietnam or anybody, just stop by and ask some questions and go from there.
All right. And Terry, we want to talk about the claims process a little bit. For our Vietnam veterans and for all veterans out there, if you've got some kind of an issue that's related to your service while you were in the military, the first stop is to go see your county veteran service officer. And if there's some kind of claim that you want to file, they'll help you file the claim. But then for you Vietnam veterans, the VVA of Minnesota, you have some folks out at the federal building that can help advocate for them on those claims.
Yes, that's correct. Lee McCleary is a nationally recognized VSO, Veteran Service Officer for Vietnam Veterans of America. He takes on other people besides. You don't necessarily have to be within the parameters of that. But you just, and you're right when you say about the county. That's basically the first place to go stop is at the county. Second place would be to VSO at the Federal Whipple Building. Either one of those is a good place to start. You don't know whether it's a claim that's service-connected or not, but if you think there's something, just stop in, fill out an application, call, make an appointment, and go from there. But it just be factual, and it'll work.
Now, the VVA, on a national basis, has been lobbying Congress, and they've been studying what's happened to the Vietnam veterans that were exposed to Agent Orange in country and on the ground. And, of course, they're trying to figure out what to do with the Brown Water Navy and the Blue Water Navy.
Now, Brown Water is going to come. Those guys are automatically built in because they're in country. But the Blue Water Navy is a big thing. And back in 99, Australia went and dropped some dye 10 or 15 miles up the Mekong River, and it ended up, or out of some of the other river systems, and ended up out 25 miles out into the ocean. So all of their blue water Navy, and they had a couple of carriers at the time, plus whatever else they had over there, they're all covered. Where none of our veterans that were blue water or deep draft are covered.
So for what our listeners should remember is there's a whole list of ailments that are presumed to have been caused by Agent Orange if you were in country and eligible. And that information is available from the Vietnam Veterans of Minnesota, Minnesota chapter. But if you have something like that, like diabetes or prostate or some of those type of troubles, go see your county veteran service officer and then get over to the VBA and let them help advocate for you. And you might be surprised that the Minneapolis VA Medical Center can do a great job to help you with those issues.
They're paramount. They say the government says they're pretty much paramount compared to all the rest of the VA facilities in the country. And so a lot of information, a lot of experimentation, and a lot of documentation comes to Minneapolis to be done and then sent back to the other VA hospitals. Because we're more efficient, I guess, is the phrase they like to use.
And help is available, so don't be afraid to step up and ask.
That is correct.
Jerry, we just got a few seconds left. Final thoughts for our listeners?
Sign up. Come to a quarterly meeting. Find out where they are. The next quarterly meeting is going to be in Alexandria about 3 months out. Find out from VVA. You can go on the website, National, and find state chapters and then the local chapters, and you might meet somebody you knew before.
So just come out for a visit.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Terry, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom.
That was Terry Palmer, the president of the Minnesota chapter of Vietnam Veterans of America. Joining me now is the senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Tom. Great to be with you again. Thanks for having me.
I understand you're calling in from a wonderful training facility we call Camp Ripley.
Yes, I sure am. We're in our second week up here at Camp Ripley, doing what you and I have talked about previously, and that being the enlisted promotion system, the board process.
So is this an annual or semi-annual session where you review everyone and the progress they're making, something like that?
Yes, it's an annual board where on the Army side, we take a look at the packets that are submitted for the soldiers who wish to be promoted within our organization, and take a look at their packets and then apply their packet against a baseline so that we can rank them and basically rack and stack them so as promotion opportunities present themselves, we've got a list to go to in which to make a selection.
Now, Sergeant Major, you know I was on the air side of this and part of the 133rd Airlift Wing, but way back when. But back in those days, if we'd taken our classes for the next level up on our what you call MOS, if we call it the AFSC, but if there are certain things we needed to do in order to be eligible to be promoted, and then of course it's up to the promotions board to decide who gets those promotions. Is there a track? Is there a something that you publish or teach your Army NCOs about how do you get promoted to the next level?
Yeah, there sure is. Annually, of course, a eligibility memorandum of instruction is published, and that basically outlines the things that allow someone to put in a packet to be considered for promotion, and it highlights those things you just mentioned. That is, do you have the right military school? The right MOS or AFSC for you Air Force folks. But, so the MOS, the professional military education, we would call those our NCO courses. And if those requirements are met, then a person would be eligible to put in a packet and be considered for promotion.
So your enlisted personnel really know what it takes to get to the next level, and if they want to work on it hard, that might put them at the front of the pack.
Yeah, there's so many things that factor into the way a person is ranked against their peers. For example, physical fitness, we talk about how important that is. And, your ability to score better on a PT test separates you from your peers. Your civilian education is something that can separate you from your peers. And, you know, those things are extremely important because we do what's called a total concept, a whole soldier concept, where we look at every angle of a soldier, both inside and outside of the military, and factor in what it is that that person's been doing, is doing, can do for us, and use that up to apply a score, really, against their packet.
So you have some benefits these days where you can go to higher education on the civilian side. Does that factor into some of the other criteria you use?
It sure does. Civilian education is looked at, and it's very important, as you know, that we are in a continuous learning environment. And one of the recommendations I make to all of our soldiers and our airmen is don't leave benefits on the table, especially as it relates to education, because education isn't wasted, and we're never too old to learn.
Well, I understand even a certain sergeant major we know is thinking about going back to school.
Yeah, I figured it's time. I should practice what I preach, and as you know, I'm reaching the end of my career here, and I've got to set myself up for when I do leave this great formation, this great organization. So yeah, I'm checking into going back for my master's degree now, and I'm pretty excited about doing that. And again, I want to practice what I preach, and I'm going to use the benefits I still have available to me.
Show them the way, Sergeant Majors. Show them the way.
Lead from the front. That's what I say, Tom.
Yes, sir. Thanks for joining us again today.
Great to chat with you, and you have a wonderful rest of the day. Take care.
You too, Sergeant Major. That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Laura Grenewig, Mel Johnson, A.J. Steinmetz, Terry Palmer from the Vietnam Veterans of America, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Shelito, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about how Minnesota pulls together during disasters and how we can be prepared. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.